When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through you? Well, we're giving them to you. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
Today, to get the public to attend a picture show, it's not enough to advertise a famous star they know. If you want to get the crowds to come around, you gotta have glorious Technicolor, breathtaking CinemaScope, and stereophonic sound. If folks today could witness Valentino in the Chic, they never would appreciate this lover boy's technique. If you want to hear applauding hands resound, you gotta have glorious Technicolor, breathtaking CinemaScope, and stereophonic sound.
The customers don't like to see the groom embrace the bride unless her lips are scarlet and her mouth is 5 feet wide.
In glorious Technicolor, breathtaking CinemaScope, or
Cinerama,
VistaVision, or
Superscope, or
Taddeo,
and stereophonic sound. And stereophonic sound. Now, you all remember Lassie, that beloved canine star. To see her wag her tail, the crowds would come from near and far. But at present, she'd be just another hound. Unless she had glorious Technicolor,
breathtaking CinemaScope,
and stereophonic sound.
I lately did a picture at the bottom of the sea. I wrestled with an octopus and licked an anchovy.
But the public wouldn't care if she had drowned unless she had
glorious Technicolor,
breathtaking CinemaScope, and stereophonic sound. If Ava Gardner played Godiva riding on a mare, the people wouldn't pay a cent, and they wouldn't even care unless she had glorious Technicolor, or
Cinecolor, or
Warnicolor, or
Metricolor, or
Eastman color, or
Corticolor, and any color in stereophonic sound.
And stereophonic sound.
There was a time when dancing was so intimate and sleek.
A fella hugged his partner as they cuddled cheek to cheek.
Now he doesn't even know if she's around, because they're in glorious Technicolor, breathtaking CinemaScope, and stereophonic sound. It's not enough today to see a dancer at his ease.
He's gotta throw his back out and come sliding on his knees.
He's gotta have glorious Russian ballet, or modern ballet, or English ballet, or Chinese ballet, or Hindu ballet, or ballet ballet,
or any ballet.
And stereophonic sound. And stereophonic sound.
Stereophonic sound, and stereophonic as an extra tonic, stereophonic sound.
That was Fred Astaire and Janis Paige singing their wall-to-wall 3D ode to stereophonic sound, that great ode to all the magic of the silver screen. Hello, I'm Larry Maslon, your host today for Broadway to Main Street, here on 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting. Silk Stockings is the show that song is from. It was turned into a movie. You heard the movie version, which sort of, changed up a couple of the lyrics. They took out some of the risque lyrics by Cole Porter from the 1954 Broadway show, but they added a little reference to Fred Astaire there. So, I don't know, it all kind of works out in the end. There have been many, many versions of Broadway musicals based on movie scripts, on screenplays, on films, quite a lot since the 21st century began. The Producers, Hairspray, Legally Blonde. The list seems sort of endless these days, but that's a fairly recent bump. They actually started in the mid-50s, these film adaptations, or these stage adaptations of films, and that's what we're going to look at today on Broadway to Main Street. The silver screen on Broadway from the middle of the 50s to 1973. So think of it as silver screen part one. Movies were not considered, I think, interesting or substantial enough to adapt into musicals until the mid-50s. There was Hazel Flagg in 1952, which was based on Nothing Sacred, and then Carnival in Flanders. We heard that, a song from that a few episodes ago. Here's That Rainy Day. But Silk Stockings, score by Cole Porter, book by George S. Kaufman and Louise McGraw, was based on Ninotchka, great screenplay by Billy Wilder and Charles Brackett, of course starring Greta Garbo. And then after that, a kind of deluge happened for a while. David Merrick, The Abominable Showman, that great nefarious but quite wonderfully provocative producer, went to France and got the rights to three screenplays by Marcel Pagnol, Fanny, Marius, and César, and he adapted them into a musical called Fanny. He originally wanted Rodgers and Hammerstein to do it. They didn't want to work with David Merrick, who was actually his first major show. So he turned to Harold Rome. Harold Rome was no slouch, and he had written a beautiful score to Wish You Were Here a few years earlier. And here is Harold Rome's rendition of the title song to Fanny, sung here not by William Tabbert from the original show, it's a little bombastic, but in a version that was a huge hit for Eddie Fisher. So here is the title song of Fanny.
One tear you'll cry, Fanny.
hope you weren't giggling out there. The name Fanny does provoke giggles occasionally. David Merrick used that to his advantage when the show was coming into town. He put little stickers up in men's rooms cubicles that read something like, "Look out for Fanny." But it did make it a hit, and thankfully, as I said, a nice indelible score by Harold Rome. A minor film that made it into, I think, a wonderful musical is called The Captain's Paradise, starring Alec Guinness, about a philandering sea captain who's fairly straight-laced in his home life in England. And I think in the film he travels to Madagascar and becomes a roué. Here they transferred the scenery from England to Paris, a little more sensibly, I think, in a show called O Captain, the only musical to star Tony Randall. It's got a wonderful score by Jay Livingston and Ray Evans, who wrote a lot of movie hits like Buttons and Bows and Que Sera Sera. They never had a Broadway hit, but their work is just as good as anybody's, I think, on The Great White Way. So we'll hear two songs from the 1958 O Captain, a saucy musical, they used to call it. In fact, the poster had a woman naked except for an apron and a captain's hat stirring some sauce in a pot. And here is Tony Randall first explaining his life and his fantasy life to his fellow sailors on his boat. And then we'll hear a second song in which his French mistress and his British wife attack him for his double standards. But first, here's Tony Randall.
Am I a dreamer? Yes, I am. All this and more, I confess, I am. This report is special on how I arranged my echelon of three paradises, one, two, three. Each a utopia designed by me.
Paradise number one. In Surrey, Mrs. St. James. Ah, a woman of rare qualities. A helpmeet to satisfy all the home-loving instincts in me. Industrious and domesticated, happy with the thousand and one activities of the daily round. A woman whose entire existence revolves around the joys of hearth and home.
Paradise number one, perfect for the Englishman. Bounded on the north by the cricket club. Bounded on the south by the tepid tub. Bounded on the east by the Union Jack. And on the west by bric-a-brac. And on the west by bric-a-brac. Paradise number two. This ship, a man's club on the water. Good talk, vintage port, a fine Havana. A man's world, eh, Manzanair? Paradise number two, where the men are navy blue. Bounded on the north by Cunard White Star. Bounded on the south by a good cigar. Bounded on the east by the captain's log. And on the west by gruel and grog. And on the west by gruel and grog.
Two worlds, eh, Anthony? Not particularly unique, you'd say, eh? But satisfying, yes. Another man might have stopped there. But I dare to ask the question. Is this enough? Is this all? Isn't there something more? A third paradise that some may dream of, but few dare to build and inhabit. After all, Manzoni, it is absurd to imagine that the same woman who cooks up the kippers can kick up the capers. And so, paradise number three. Paris, a woman named Bobo. A child of nature, the epitome of the jungle, the mate for the tiger in me, the she-animal whom all men desire.
Paradise number three, land of morning lechery. Bounded on the north by Toulouse-Lautrec's. Bounded on the south by the act of sex. Bounded on the east by a left-bank den. And on the west by sex again. And on the west by sex again. Three paradises, one, two, three. Each a utopia designed by me. The first, my quiet home on land. The second is my ship's command. The third is a world of ecstasy. Three paradises belong to me.
I came to you, a bride to you.
Yes, Maud.
My contract says I'm tied to you.
And you certainly are.
But you're as free as a little bird is. There's
there's a word for you, you tainted saint.
Bubba.
But as a lady of restraint, I can't tell you what that certain word is.
Oh, how shocking.
Mine eyes have seen the battle light. I'm tired of being a satellite, just another gal in your galaxy. If you want your double standard, then you don't want me.
If I should shake my hip a bit, then you greedy hypocrite, you dare to tell me I'm being shameless.
You have set a new Olympic mark for clearing hurdles in the dark, and yet you stand around acting blameless. You pull the switch, it's so routine, and just like any good machine, I'm to do just what you expect me to. Well, if that's your double standard, then a pox on you. You're famous on the boulevards. I bet you pose for postal cards. I'm sure nobody could do it better.
But if I should let an eyebrow twitch, I start with B and rhyme with itch, like I'm the star of the Scarlet Letter.
Who knows how many times you've been cavorting down the street of sin.
Anywhere you hang, your pants is home.
If you want your double standard, we'll just have to roll.
You think I'm sweet and gentle and never wild,
but we're not children and I'm no child. Did it ever occur to you I could give you more? If you want your double standard, demand a double standard, then this is war.
That was Jacqueline McKeever and Eileen Rogers filling in for Abby Lane on the recording from Oh Captain, That Saucy Musical. Any place you hang your pants is home. What a great lyric. Let's move again to David Merrick, who seemed to have been optioning screenplays by the bushelful in the 1950s. I can imagine him saying to Bob Ullman, Ullman, screen, I want you to screen Destry Rides Again. I think we can make a musical out of that. And in 1959, there was a musical of Destry Rides Again, that Hollywood film with James Stewart, about a sheriff in a small town who tries to use nonviolence to rule the town, and Marlena Dietrich, of course. Harold Rome was asked by Merrick again to write a score. Difficult show. I'm not sure I love musicals about cowboys particularly, but Rome pulled a wonderful ballad towards the end of the show out of his holster and gave it to Dolores Gray. So here's a lovely song called I Say Hello from Destry Rides Again.
Too late for words, too late to try. There's nothing left for us to say but hello and a goodbye. I say hello, I don't mean hello, I mean oh, how I could have loved you. I try to smile, and yet all the while, my to take you, hold you. I say goodbye, I don't mean goodbye, I mean darling, why must I go?
Now we'll hear two stage adaptations of movies from the pen and xylophone of Bob Merrill. Bob Merrill, who wrote How Much Is That Doggy in the Window, was a composer-lyricist who used to compose all his songs on a xylophone. He worked often with David Merrick, one of the few people who seemed to want to work with him more than once. And we'll hear two musicals, the first one he did with Merrick, which is Carnival, based on a movie called Lily, starring Leslie Caron, about a young waif who goes to a carnival and has a romantic adventure, open-eyed adventure with a tortured puppeteer. And then we'll go to our second Bob Merrill musical called Henry Sweet Henry, which was based on the movie The World of Henry Orient, which had actually come out only a year or two before the musical. I think 65, 66 was the movie. And then the musical followed quick upon in 1967. One of the interesting little contrasts we'll hear are these two girls, these two alpha and omegas in Bob Merrill's world. Our first character will be Lily, sung by Anna Maria Alberghetti from Carnival, who's just the most open-eyed, lovely, charming girl you'd ever want to see stumble into a carnival. And the second is the notorious Kafritz, this 15-year-old monster, this Idi Amin of private school, who's set upon torturing our heroines in Henry Sweet Henry. She's rather fiendish. She sort of makes Sweeney Todd look like Maria von Trapp. Not a bad idea. At last, my favorite things are complete again. But first we'll hear Anna Maria Alberghetti from Carnival, and then we'll hear the wonderful Alice Playton from Henry Sweet Henry.
I came unto buses in a train. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Two buses and a train. Would you believe, this is the first I've traveled? I come from a town, the kind of town where you live in a house till the house falls down. But if it stands up, you stay there. It's funny, but that's their way there. I come from the town of Mira, beyond the bridges of St. Clair. I guess you've never heard of Mira. It's very small, but still, it's there. They have the very greenest trees and skies as bright as flame. But what I like the best in Mira is everybody knew my name. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Everybody knew my name. A room that strange is never cozy. A place that strange is never sweet. I want to have a chair that knows me and walk a street that knows my feet. I'm very far from turning back. I have to find a place, I've got to find a place where everything can be the same. A street that I can know and places I can go where everybody knows my name. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Everybody knew my name.
There. I did it.
Instincts.
But I endeavored to resist them by clenching my fist, and by kicking my shoe hard I try, but not too hard. She was out to get me, but I got her first. When she got malicious, she happened to pick a kid who'd be just as vicious and twice as vindicative. I am rough and I am ruthless, though it's tough, the bitter truth is nobody steps on Catherine's. If they do, then they must be crushed. Most of the world are half-wits, and their laughter will soon be hushed. A superior mental IQ makes inferior minds dislike you. If the world starts a ruckus where all of them run amok, is to step.
That was the pint-sized dynamo, Alice Playton, from Henry's Sweet Henry. We lost Alice this year. A great shame. A great performer. She stole the show from her two leads, her two other 15-year-old girl leads. Tony Randall was offered the role of Henry Orient in the musical, and he read it and he said, "It's a wonderful show. I'd love to do it. It's fantastic. If only I were a 15-year-old girl." Knowing that, of course, the girls would steal the show from whoever played the male lead. Anyway, this is Larry Maslon here for Broadway to Main Street on 88.3 FM, PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. And we're turning our attention to great stage adaptations, or at least interesting stage adaptations, of famous movies. I hope you're following along, either listening to us live on Sunday afternoons, or perhaps you're streaming from somewhere around the world, or you can always go to PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org and listen to our now, I don't know, almost more than a dozen podcasts of our previous episodes. So you can download them and listen to them. You can walk down Broadway. You can walk down Main Street. You can walk on beach. You can walk wherever you want and never be too far away from Broadway to Main Street. Billy Wilder was one of Hollywood's great individuals. He was a wonderful screenwriter, first with movies like Ninotchka. We heard the musical version of that, Silk Stockings. And then he branched into directing and screenwriting. And there was something so character-oriented, so funny, so lively, so imaginative about his films that stage producers flocked, beat down his doors to turn his movies into musicals. David Merrick, once again, he said, "Bob Ullman, get me a meeting with Billy Wilder," whatever he screamed to Bob. And he tracked down Billy Wilder, quite reluctantly on Wilder's part, and optioned two of his movies for the stage, Promises, Promises, and Some Like It Hot. So we're going to hear a trifecta of Billy Wilder movies turned to the stage. We'll hear Jerry Orbach and Jill O'Hara from Promises, Promises, which was the adaptation by Bacharach and David of The Apartment, that great film with Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine. Then we'll hear Sugar, a movie I kind of like, a movie I love, Some Like It Hot, and a musical I think they did a pretty good job of, considering the odds. And you'll hear Bobby Morse as Daphne, Jerry in drag, stuck, much to his pleasure, in a sleeping berth with Elaine Joyce as Sugar Cane. And then we'll have a little surprise at the end. So here's your Billy Wilder trifecta, Promises, Promises, Sugar, and a little surprise.
What do you get when you fall in love? A guy with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble. I never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. What do you get when you kiss a guy? You get enough germs to catch pneumonia. After you do, he'll never phone ya. I never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. Don't tell me what it's all about, 'cause I've been there and I'm glad I'm out. Out of those chains that bind you. That is why I'm here to remind you. What do you get when you fall in love? You only get lies and pain and sorrow. So for at least until tomorrow, I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again.
What do you get when you give your heart? You get it all broken up and battered. That's what you get, a heart that's shattered. I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. Don't tell me what it's all about, 'cause I've been there and I'm glad I'm out. Out of those chains that bind you.
That is why I'm here to remind you.
What do you get when you fall in love? You only get lies and pain and sorrow. So for at least until tomorrow, never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again.
It doesn't take long to know that a person is your kind of person.
And there's nothing worse than to know that a person is not.
I'm a person who thinks she sees some of her own idiosyncrasies, some of her own dreams and fantasies in you.
It's true, it's true. Good Lord, sweetheart, how perceptive of you.
I'm a dreamer, completely unrealistic.
You've described my main characteristic.
Listen, sweetie, yes, indeedy.
We could be close.
I'm a Pisces.
And I was born a Taurus.
Gosh, we got... The planet's going for us.
Listen, sweetie. Yes, indeedy. Oh,
we could be close.
We could be, we, you and me could be as close as any two sisters could be.
Bobbing around, throbbing like two canaries. Share alike, sharesy.
I've got three sisters and a brother. I'd love to have some kids at some time or another.
Sometimes I worry that I'll never be a mother.
I can see how you and me, we could be close.
We'll lounge around and answer our mail.
Or rush downtown if there is a sale.
Don't you just love trying on merchandise?
Oh.
I've been wondering, what's your size?
I'm a size 8 with a C cup.
I'm a 40 with a wee cup.
You pad with cotton.
I almost was forgotten.
We could be close.
You've got something that really is worth prizing.
I've got something even more surprising.
I can see how you and me, we could be close.
I'm
That, of course, was The Ringer, the musical version of Sunset Boulevard, perhaps Billy Wilder's greatest film. That, of course, was a little later, in the late 1990s, and we heard Barbara Streisand sing the great song by Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard, As If We Never Said Goodbye. Now, Streisand, being the immense legendary personality that she is, changed some of the lyrics to fit her own persona. But it always works best with Sunset Boulevard if you have someone who's larger than life in that regard. When they decided to option All About Eve as a staged musical, they realized they needed someone larger than life as well to fill Bette Davis's, I wouldn't say immense shoes, I have no idea what her shoe size was, but certainly her legendary personality. And Strauss and Adams and Comden and Green were very lucky to get Lauren Bacall, who made her musical stage debut, of course, in Applause in 1970 and absolutely painted the town red. It was a huge professional success for her. It was a difficult show to adapt. They weren't allowed to adapt the screenplay. They only based it on a short story that the screenplay is based on. I think they were allowed to use the words fasten and seat. I don't think they were allowed to pay for belts, so you didn't really get... You got Fasten Your Seat Belts as a song, but not much else of that great screenplay. They updated it to 1970. But be that as it may, they had Bacall, who definitely nailed down the show with her persona. And here's a song that makes fun of that in a very witty way, in which Margot Channing and Eve Harrington are watching an old Margot Channing movie on television late at night, and it gives Bacall a chance to tweak her film personality from the stage of the Palace Theater. So here is Who's That Girl from Applause.
Which one does Bill want to marry? Margot today? Margot on stage? Or that one, 19-year-old Margot Channing on the Late Late Show. Who's that girl with a permanent wave and the dress below her knees? Who's that doll with the open-toed pumps? Would you kindly tell me, please, look at her, Miss 1946. Ha, ha, ha. Teenage Margot, queen of the 40s flicks. Mellorooney, who's that girl with the Maybelline eyes, acting like she knew the score? Ixnay, daddy-o, I never saw that girl before. Who's that girl with the permanent grin and the stockings with the seams? Did that kid with the caps on her teeth launch a million GI's dreams? Where is she, that girl of yesterday? With her falsies leading Luairs astray. Boogie woogie baby, who's that girl with the chic shoulder pads? Could it be that long ago? No siree, bop, foo, riaki saki, she isn't anyone I know. Watch her dance, you can tell that she's hep, 'cause she digs that jump and jive. Wind her up and she really can't act, you would swear that she's alive. How she smokes those brand new filter tips. Watch her pucker those red hot tangy lips. Hey bobbery bop, who's that girl in the platform heels? Who could that tomato be? That snazzy chick, fly die, fly die, trucking on down Tuxedo Junction
in the pinstripe suit
and the upswept hair. Boogie woogie bugle boy from Company B. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Me. Hubba hubba.
Well, not only great American filmmakers like Joseph Mankiewicz were adapted for the stage, but foreign film directors were as well. Bob Fosse screened a Federico Fellini movie called Knights of Cabiria, starring the unforgettable Giulietta Messina, and turned it into Sweet Charity, with help, of course, from Neil Simon, Cy Coleman, and Dorothy Fields, as a vehicle for his muse and incredibly talented wife, Gwen Verdon. Well, Sweet Charity had very little to do with Fellini by the time it opened in 1966, but everything to do with Gwen Verdon and Bob Fosse. So let's hear a dynamite number from that. There's got to be something better than this.
Receptionist in one of those glass office buildings. Lever Brothers. No, no, no. Seagram's. 9 to 5? I'm gonna have my very own typewriter on the wood. And water coolers and office parties and coffee breaks. When I sit at my desk on the 41st floor in my copy of a copy of a copy of Dior, I'll receive big tycoons and I'll point to a chair. I'll say, honey, while you're waiting, how would you like to put it down over there?
There's gotta be something better than this. There's gotta be something better to do.
And I'm gonna be a hat check girl at Sardi's East. And I'll wear one of them fine little black numbers, you know, cut up to here and down to there. Ooh, and all those hats coming in. Derbies, Homburgs. Ooh, and that cute little checkered number with the skinny brim and the feather. Check your hat, sir. Check your coat, sir. Check your vest, sir. Check your pants. Check your socks, sir. Check your shoes, sir. I can hold them while you dance. Check your eyes, sir. Check your ears, sir. Check and see if you are free. How about it? After hours, I'll check you and you check me.
Me too.
Why?
I'm getting out too.
But baby, what can you do?
I don't know. But just get me out of here and I'll figure it out later. There's gotta be some life cleaner than this. There's gotta be some good reason to live.
And when I find me some kind of life I can live,
I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna get up.
Hi-ya! 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 Hi-ya!
Fellini would return to the musical stage later in the 20th century. Maybe we'll get to that in Silver Screen Part 2. Another foreign film director was Ingmar Bergman, who made his reputation around the same time that Fellini did. And of course, his Smiles of a Summer Night was optioned by Hal Prince and became the Stephen Sondheim, Hugh Wheeler musical, A Little Night Music. Probably the biggest hit we have from a stage adaptation of a movie, of course, comes from A Little Night Music, and it's Send in the Clowns. Now, the purists out there may object to my not using Glynis Johns, but the music lovers, I'm sure, will appreciate Sarah Vaughan's astonishing version of Send in the Clowns.
Clowns, quick, send in the clowns. Don't bother the heat.
Isn't it rich? Isn't it queer? Losing my time here this late.
Is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.